We danken u en loven en prijzen u, Vader. We danken u voor dit moment, mijn Heiland, dat wij tot u mogen komen met alles wat wij hebben. Vader, want al is de nood zo groot, Vader, u bent er, Vader. Groter dan iedere nood, mijn Heiland. We danken u voor uw liefde en uw barmhartigheid, Vader. We danken u dat u ons hebt getrokken van uw duister naar het wonderbaar, naar uw wonderbaar licht, Vader. Vader, we prijzen uw naam, omdat u de wonderbare raadsman bent, de sterke God en de vredevorst. Vader, we verhogen uw naam, omdat u onze eeuwige Vader is, Vader. U bent de roos van Sharon, de lelie der dalen en de blinkende morgenster, Vader. Vader, u bent de leeuw van Juda, mijn Heiland. U bent de helper groot van kracht en steeds bereid. U bent de ware wijnstok. U bent onze voorziener en u bent onze genezer, Vader. Vader, we danken u voor alles, Vader. Vader, glorie en aanbidding voor uw machtige Jezusnaam. Vader, wij komen met u, bij u, met alle kinderen, hun verzorgers, hun ouders, Vader. We brengen ze zo voor uw genade troon. Vader, we brengen ook iedereen die luistert en die meelezen, Vader. We komen voor uw troon met broeder Cor en zuster Marlene en hun gezin. Vader, we dragen zo ook de vluchtelingen aan u op en alles wat er gebeurt in de wereld, Vader. Vader, wilt u hun helper zijn en over hen ontfermen, Vader. We bidden, Vader Jezus, voor alle gospelradio's, alle bestanden die gehouden worden. Vader, we brengen ook alle gemeentes, voorgangers, voor uw troon van genade. Wilt u hen zegenen? Vader, en we danken u voor uw woord, Vader. Vader, zegen zo in ieder die luistert, mijn Heiland. Vader, wel, terwijl u ook zegen, Vader, zegen ook mij, Vader. Vader, ik bid u, Vader, in uw wonderbare naam, mijn Heiland, Jezus Christus, dat u onze vrede bent, Vader, en dat u vrede brengt, Vader. Vader, we loven uw naam daarvoor, omdat u waardig bent, Vader, en u doet alles, Vader. U zegt, vraag maar wat gij wilt, als in geloof, en ik zal het doen. Vader, wij vragen u in geloof, mijn Heiland. En we danken u, Vader, voor u de bijstand van uw Heilige Geest, mijn God, Heiland. Vader, dank u wel voor uw woord, Vader. Vader, ga voor in uw woord dat gebracht zal worden of gelezen zal worden, waar dan ook, Vader. Vader, we danken u dat u bemoeienissen hebt met alles. Glorie en aanbidding voor uw machtige Jezusnaam. Ja, lieve luisteraars, we gaan lezen uit Romeinen hoofdstuk 12. Romeinen hoofdstuk 12 en 13. We gaan eerst een lieve bemoedigingswoord van onze Heere Jezus Christus brengen. En het komt uit Glorieklokken 403. Het zegt: eens stond ik verzonken in diepe gepeinst aan de kust van de Blauwe Zee. Toen rees voor mijn ogen het lieflijk beeld van de vreemdeling van Galilee. Ik zag hoe het volk zich om hem verdrong. En wijl hij wonderen deed met kracht, de blinden en lammen genas terstond door het woord zijn liefde macht. Daarom prijs ik zijn liefde voor immer, een liefde zo wijd als de zee. Ik aanbid u, o hemelse koning, gij vreemdeling van Galilee. Toen ik hulpeloos vloot uit die sterke vriend, toen ik hulpeloos vloot tot die sterke vriend, die kan redden van zorg en wee. Omstraalde zijn tedere liefde tot mij van de vreemdeling van Galilee. En de derde zegt: O, vlucht tot uw heiland met al uw zorg. Immer hoort hij uw zwakke been. Bij hem is steeds uitkomst in elke nood bij de vreemdeling van Galilee. O, kniel aan zijn voeten met al uw schuld en snik uit al uw hartewee. Geen mens kan u troosten zo mild en zacht als de vreemdeling van Galilee. Het was het, broeder en zusters. En we gaan naar onze Bijbelleesplan. Komt uit Romeinen hoofdstuk 12. Het ware offer. Ik vermaan u dan, broeders, met beroep op de barmhartigheden Gods, dat gij uw lichamen stelt tot een levend, heilig en gode, welgevallig offer. Die is uw redelijke eredienst en wordt niet gelijkvormig aan deze wereld, maar wordt hervormd door de vernieuwing van uw denken, opdat gij moogt erkennen wat de wil van God is. Het goede, welgevallige en volkomene. Want krachtens de genade die mij geschonken is, zeg ik een ieder onder u: koester geen gedachten hoger dan u voegen, maar gedachten tot bedachtzaamheid naar de mate van het geloof dat God elk een in het bijzonder heeft toebedeeld. Want gelijk wij in één lichaam vele leden hebben en de leden niet alle dezelfde werkzaamheden hebben, zo zijn wij, hoewel velen, één lichaam in Christus, maar ieder afzonderlijk, ieder letten op opzichte van elkaar ten opzichte van elkander. Wij hebben nu gaven van onderscheiding naar de genade die ons gegeven is. Profetie naar gelang van ons geloof. Wie dient in het dienen. Wie onderwijst in het onderwijzen. Wie vermaant in het vermanen. En wie mededeelt in eenvoud. Wie leiding geeft in ijver. Wie barmhartigheid bewijst in blijmoedigheid. Vers 9. Opwekking tot liefde. En de liefde zij ongeveinsd. Wees afkerig van het kwade. Gehecht aan het goede. Wees in broederliefde elkander genegen. In eerbetoon elkander ten voorbeeld. In ijver onverdroten, vurig van geest, dien de Heere. Wees blijde in de hoop, geduldig in de verdrukking. Volharden in het gebed, bijdragend in de noden der heiligen. Leg u toe op de gastvrijheid. Zegend wie u vervolgen. Zegen en vervloek niet. Wees blijde met de blijden. Weent met de wenende. Wees onderling eensgezind. niet zinnende op hoge dingen, maar voeg u in het eenvoudige. Wees niet eigenwijs. Vergeld niemand kwaad met kwaad. Heb het goede voor met alle mensen. Houd zo mogelijk, voor zover het van u afhangt, vrede met alle mensen. Wreek uzelf niet, geliefden, maar laat plaats voor de toren. Want er staat geschreven, mijn komt de wraak toe, ik zal het vergelden, spreekt de Heere. Maar indien uw vijand honger heeft, geef hem te eten. Indien hij dorst heeft, geef hem te drinken. Want zo zult gij vurige kolen op zijn hoofd open. Laat u niet overwinnen door het kwade, maar overwin het kwade door het goede. Vers 13, eer de overheid. Ieder mens moet zich onderwerpen aan de overheden die boven hem staan. Want er is geen overheid dan door God, en die er zijn, zijn door God gesteld. Wie zich dus tegen de overheid verzet, wederstaat de instelling Gods. En wie dit doen, zullen een oordeel over zich brengen. Want als iemand goed handelt, behoeft hij niet bevreesd te zijn voor de overheidspersonen. Maar wel als hij verkeerd handelt, wil gij zonder vrees voor de overheid zijn, doe het goede en gij zult lof van haar ontvangen. Zij staat immers in dienst van God, u ten goede. Maar indien gij kwaad doet, wees dan bevreesd, want zij draagt het zwaard niet te vergeefs. Zij staat immers in de dienst van God, als torenden reist er voor hen die kwaad bedrijft. Daarom is het nodig zich te onderwerpen, niet slechts om de toren, maar ook om des gewetens wil. Daarom breng gij toch ook belastingen op, want zij zijn dienaren Gods die juist op dit punt voortdurend letten. Betaalt aan allen het verschuldigde, belasting aan wie belasting, tol aan wie tol, ontzag aan wie ontzag, eer betoond aan wie eer toekomt. We gaan naar vers 8. Geboden. Zijn niemand iets schuldig dan elkander lief te hebben. Want wie de andere lief heeft, heeft de wet vervuld. Want de geboden, gij zult niet echt breken, gij zult niet doodslaan, gij zult niet stelen, gij zult niet begeren, en welke andere gebod er ook zij, worden samengevat in dit woord. Gij zult uw naaste lief hebben als uzelf. De liefde doet de naaste geen kwaad. Daarom is de liefde de vervulling der wet. Gij verstaat immers de tijd wel, dat het thans voor u de ure is om uit de slaap te ontwaken. Want het heil is ons nu meer nabij dan toen wij tot het geloof kwamen. De nacht is ver gevorderd, de dag is nabij. Laten wij dan de werken der duisternis afleggen en aandoen de wapenen des lichts. Laten wij als bij lichte dag eerbaar wandelen, niet in brasserijen en drinkgelagen, niet in wellust en losbandigheid, niet in twist en nijd, maar doe de Heere Jezus Christus aan en wijd geen zorgen aan het vlees, zodat begeerten worden opgewekt. En aanvaard de zwakken in het geloof, maar niet om overwegen te beoordelen. De een gelooft dat hij alles eten mag, maar de zwakke eet aan het aardig voedsel. Wie wel eet, men achte hem niet, die niet eet. En wie niet eet, oordelen hem niet, die wel eet. Want God heeft hem aanvaard. Wie zijt gij, dat gij een ander knecht oordeelt? Of hij staat of valt, ga zijn eigen Heer aan. Maar hij zal staande blijven, want de Heere is bij machte en vasten ontstaan. Deze immers stelt de ene dag boven de andere, geen stel ze alle gelijk. Ieder zij voor zijn eigen besef ten volle overtuigd. Wie aan een bepaalde dag hecht, doet het om de Heere. En wie eet, doet het om de Heere. Want hij dankt God. En wie niet eet, laat het na om de Heere. En ook bij dank, hij dankt God. Want niemand ons leeft voor zichzelf. En niemand sterft voor zichzelf. Want als wij leven, het is voor de Heere. En als wij sterven, het is voor de Heere. Het zijn wij dan leven, het zijn wij sterven, wij zijn des Heeren. Want hiertoe is Christus gestorven en levend geworden, opdat hij en over doden en over levenden heerschappij voeren. Zo, gij echter, wat oordeel gij, uw broeder, of ook gij, want men acht gij uw broeder, want wij zullen allen gesteld worden voor de rechterstoel. Voor de rechterstoel God. Want er staat geschreven, zo waarachtig als ik leef, spreekt de Heere, voor mij zal alle knie zich buigen en alle tong zal God loven. Zo zal dan een ieder onze voor zichzelf rekenschap geven aan God. Tot zover, lieve luisteraars. Ik heb gelezen uit Romeinen 12, het ware offer. En vers 9, opwekking tot liefde. En ik ben gegaan naar hoofdstuk 3, 13. Eert. Eert de overheid. En vers 8 van hoofdstuk 13 zegt geboden. En dan ben ik gegaan naar hoofdstuk 14. Verdraagzaamheid. Hiertoe dank ik u allen dat u mee heb gelezen of geluisterd. En ik zou zeggen, met de Heere zegenen u zo te samen met broeder Cor en zuster Marlene. In Jezus' wonderbare naam. Halleluja. Amen.
Amen, zuster Emma. Dank u wel ook vannacht voor de bijdrage die u geleverd heeft aan deze uitzending. Mogen de Heer u genadig zijn. En wij wensen u een fijne nachtrust toe. En zo de Heer het leidt. Tot morgen.
Dank u wel, broeder Cor. Groetjes daar.
Doe ik.
Dank broeder Cor. Hebben jullie een mooie weekend gehad?
Ja hoor.
Ja, dank broeder Cor.
Dag zuster Emma. daarnet kunnen luisteren naar het openingsgebed en het Bijbelleesplan. De samenstelling was in handen van zuster Emma in Amsterdam-Oost. Zo dadelijk pastor Samuel Lee met het gesproken woord in het Engels.
Samuel Lee World Evangelism, reaching the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dr. Samuel Lee brings you a dynamic life-changing message from the World Evangelism Center in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. As you listen to this message, your life will never be the same again.
Today, I want to give you a teaching about the day of Pentecost, what it means, Pentecost, and what Pentecost can do to you when you understand what Pentecost is. Hallelujah. So today I want to talk to you about or teach you the power of Pentecost. I'm not going to preach, I'm going to teach. So listen very carefully to me. The power of Pentecost, what Pentecost can do to us. What does Pentecost mean? Before we go to the book of Acts, please go with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, because that is where we talk about Pentecost. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15, 16 and 17, 18, I will read it for you. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, from verse 15. And this is the red letters of Jesus. He's talking in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, from verse 15. If you love me and you obey what I command, and I will ask who? The Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of the truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither see him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be what? In you. Please focus to the verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans, and I will come to you. What did he say? I will not leave you as orphans. What is orphan? A fatherless person. A motherless person. And he said, in that day, the day that he's talking about is the day of what? Pentecost. And he said, during that day, I am no more going to leave you as orphans, because something is going to happen on that day when my Holy Spirit comes upon you. What is going to happen? You are no more going to become orphans. Now, before I start teaching, let's go to verse 23. And verse 23 says this: if anyone loves me, Jesus said, he will obey my teaching. So your love is in obedience. My Father, listen to this. My Father, we love him. And we, that means me and my Father and the Holy Spirit, we will come to him and make our home with him. My brothers and sisters, the day of Pentecost is the day of the Father. The day of Pentecost is the day that Father is reconciled to his children. Oh, my brothers and sisters, for many years we have been orphans. We have been fatherless. We have been parentless. Because sin has separated us from the Abba Father, my brothers and sisters. But because of the day of Pentecost, because we love God, because we obey the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, that Father that has been waiting for you for so long is coming to his church, to his body, and to you. Today, you are not only the temple of the Holy Spirit, but Abba Father abides in you. The day of Pentecost is not only the day of the Holy Ghost, but it is the day of the Abba Father, the loving Father, the caring Father. And maybe some of you who never had the Father love, this is your chance to experience the fatherly love that comes from God, Abba Father. So my brothers and sisters, we are no more orphans. We are no more. Somebody cares for us, and that is Abba Father. Do you know what it means when you have a father? That means you have somebody who cares for you. That means somebody, nobody can mess up with you. Because you have a father. Because you have somebody who defends you. To stand for your rights. If somebody bullies you, he comes there. If somebody is against you, he comes there. You know why? Because he is your father. And many people today, they are crying for father love. They are crying for to be touched by the father's love. But I come with good news. The day of Pentecost is the day of the Father. The day of Pentecost is the day when the Father himself comes in you. Hallelujah. The fatherly love. We are hungry for fatherly love. And the day of Pentecost is not only the day that Holy Spirit comes, but is the day that Abba Father comes. The Father that has been waiting for you for many years. The Father that has been waiting for you because sin has separated us from the Father. I come with the good news for you. Do you know that Father never knows your sins? In fact, from the very beginning, he has never knew your sins. Do you know that? Many people, they think that Father is there in heaven with the angry rod beating you every time when you do something wrong. That is not Father. Our Father has never known your sins. You know why? Because Christ's blood has covered your sin. The only thing the Father knows about you is your goodness inside of you. Your good abilities inside of you. Your beautiful things inside of you. You know why? Because Jesus Christ has covered your weaknesses with his blood. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The Father does not know your sins. The only person who knows your sins is Jesus. He knows it. He knows your sins. Because he covered you with his blood. So that when you come to the Father, hey, he doesn't see your sins. So the day of Pentecost, my brothers and sisters, is the day that we are no more orphans. We are no more what? Fatherless. We have a Father. We have someone who cares for us. And it is in that day of Pentecost that after so many time in history, Jeremiah, Moses, Daniel, Elijah, they were dreaming about that day of Pentecost. But 2,000 years ago, on the day of Pentecost, Abba Father himself, through his Holy Spirit, came. No more in a temple. No more in a building. No more in a church building. But he came in you, and he is in you. Hallelujah. You are no more an orphan. You are no more a fatherless person. You have a Father, Abba Father. So the day of Pentecost, my brothers and sisters, is the day that we are no more orphans, but we become all the children of God through his Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, but listen, this is not my message actually. This is only introduction. Praise the Lord. Let us go to the Acts chapter 2 now. And I know many times we have read Acts chapter 2, but today we are going to receive a lot of new revelations. So that is why I'm not preaching to you, I am teaching. Acts chapter 2. We read first the story about Pentecost, what happened. Chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together, what? In one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them were filled with Holy Spirit and began to speak in another tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is that each of one of us hears them in his own native language? Persians, Medians, Elamites, resident of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors of Rome, Cretans, and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language." Amazed, they were amazed. And perplexed, they were perplexed. They asked one another, "What does this mean?" Verse 13. Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Verse 14. Then Peter stood with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It is 9 in the morning. No, this is what is spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servant, both man and woman, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and billow of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great glorious day of the Lord. And everyone, listen, verse 21, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Oh, hallelujah. And listen now, listen. We go to verse 38. Verse 38. Apostle Peter was preaching the gospel to them. And at the end, he said this. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you," in verse 38. "In the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all of you who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Verse 40. "With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 people were added to their number in that day." Listen, this is beautiful. Eh? This is what happened in the day of Pentecost. Verse 42. "They devoted themselves to apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miracle signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere heart, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. This is the story, brothers and sisters, of the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is the day that the Father came to us and restored his love to us. But secondly, my brothers and sisters, the Bible says, listen to this, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was poured upon the people. The Holy Spirit was poured upon the people. For the first time in history of humankind, the Holy Spirit himself came and filled us with his power. Just stop for a while and think about this. Listen, think about this. The Holy Spirit, who made the heavens and earth, who created the world by his power, that Holy Ghost in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 that was hovering over the surface of the earth, that Holy Spirit who helped Elijah, who helped Moses, who helped Daniel, that Holy Spirit who would come and go 2,000 years ago, for the first time in history of mankind, the Holy Spirit came and he never left. He is here today. That Holy Ghost, that power that made heavens and earth shake, that power that made the miracles, that power that made by his word, the Spirit, that the Spirit came 2,000 years ago among us, and he is still today for those who want to believe. So the day of Pentecost is the day of the Holy Ghost, and that Holy Ghost can be in you because you are the people of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me, my brothers and sisters? For 2,000 years ago, Holy Spirit came and he didn't left. Holy Spirit came and stayed in you. Holy Spirit came upon the church. Listen to this. Why? Because he said they were all together in one place. In one place. Holy Ghost comes when we are in one place. That is why it is not good for you only to sit home and worship God for yourself. That is why we need church. Are you listening to me? That is why we need the church. Those people who say, I don't need church, I don't need to go to church. No, we need the church. Why? Because the Holy Ghost was poured out upon the people who came together in one place. Hallelujah. And when they were in one place, oh hallelujah, the Holy Ghost came and gave birth to the church. And for the first time in history, the church of Jesus Christ was born. Not out of bricks and walls, but by human beings. That the Holy Spirit came to them and abide in us. Listen, Holy Spirit was poured out upon us. Holy Spirit was poured out upon us. Who is Holy Spirit to you? Who is actually Holy Spirit to you? Is Holy Spirit someone just who fixed things to you? No, man. Holy Spirit is God himself in the form of a spirit who comes and abides in you. Do you know what this means? This means you are the container of the Holy Ghost. But many of you, you are so disappointed, you look miserable. Why? Because you don't realize the power that is inside of you. If you realize who is inside of you, I don't think you'll sit like that though. You're going to shake. We are talking about Holy Ghost, huh? Or Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call him. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. And that is the first day of what? Thank you. Now listen, and the disciples begin to pray in tongues. Later I'm coming to that teaching. Just wait, because this is a teaching. You need to be patient. Now listen what happened. I don't go into detail But this is what I want to tell you. Pentecost, my brothers and sisters, Pentecost is about unity of all races. That is Pentecost. Pentecost means unity of all races. Why? Because this is what Apostle Peter was preaching. Listen to me. He said, Prophet Joel said, in the last days, God will pour out his spirit upon all people. So Pentecost is not just a day that we come together and we shake and shandalai, shandalai. No, Pentecost had also a political meaning. Pentecost means that all the races, all the people of the world, all the nationalities, all the colors are together. Now we are all the children of God. Now listen to this, because this is very important, and this revelation, you didn't get it before. I'm going to tell you now in a minute. You see, the day of Pentecost is the day that all races become one under Christ. Amen? Now listen to me. What did we just read in the Bible? He said that the disciples were together, isn't it? And they were in one place, and they were what? Praying. But there were people outside. Listen. There were people outside. They hear them. Who are these people? They were people from every country under heaven. People of God. Either my English is wrong or my IQ is low. When he says, all the people of what? All the nations under heaven, that means as well Ghana, Nigeria, and Greece, Cyprus, Iran, Iraq, India, China, isn't it? He said, all Asia. Amen? He said, they were all there, listen to me, and then when they heard them, listen, because this is something very interesting. When they heard them praying in tongues, each one of them heard the language that they all speak in their country. Do you know what this means? This is, my brothers and sisters, a big revelation. You know what this means, my friend? This means that these people, even though they were all praying in tongues, but every one of them, they heard the gospel in their own language. This means that you don't need only to speak English in order to be a Christian. You can be a Nigerian, you can be a Ghanaian, you can be a Surinamian, you can be a Filipino, you can love your culture and heal Christ in your culture. You catch my point? They all heard them in their own language. Assuming we are all together and praying, and suddenly a mama hears me praying in Nigeria language. Somebody hear me, hey, but he's praying in Arabic language. How come? How come? You know why? Because God loved the world so much. Are you listening to me? And it is our right to listen to God in our language, in our culture. It is not bad to be a Ghanaian, a Filipino, a Surinamian, and believe in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God made us one through the day of Pentecost. Races and nationalities, what? Became one in Christ. The opposite of the Tower of Babel happened in the day of Pentecost. Because in the Tower of Babel, we all divided. In the day of Pentecost, we all united. Oh, hallelujah. So the day of Pentecost is the day that all the races and all the nationalities and all the languages become one under Christ. You see, my brothers and sisters, there is discrimination in the church. Oh, don't look at me so holy now. I'm telling you, even in my heart, there was discrimination before. Listen to me, my brothers and sisters. As long as there is hidden discrimination in our hearts against other nations, against other nationalities, against other tribes from our own country, I wonder if we have the Holy Ghost. Because when the Holy Ghost comes, we become one. Are you hearing me today? I have seen many people, even Christians. Even Christians. There is some prejudice inside them against other people, against other nationalities. But that is not Pentecost. Pentecost makes us one. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. Listen to this. This is the revelation. Jesus Christ. Listen to this. This is a revelation. Jesus Christ reconciled man to God. Are you listening? Jesus Christ reconciles man to God. Holy Ghost reconciles man to man. Holy Ghost reconciles man to man, human to human. Jesus reconciles us to God. But Holy Ghost reconciles us together. We become one. That is the meaning of Pentecost. Pentecost had a lot of meaning, political meaning. Do you know that those people who were standing outside and listening to the Peter and all the disciples praying in tongues, do you know who these people were? Many of them were those people who were rejected to enter the temple. That is why Jesus entered and he was angry and he said, my house shall be the house of prayer for all the nations. But you are stopping the nations to come to my house. There was a time that there was written there, forbidden for dogs and forbidden for foreigners. That is why Apostle Paul said, there is no wall that can separate us anymore from Christ. Oh, hallelujah. And those people who were rejected, those people who were cast out from that so-called racist mentality, they are those who experience Pentecost. Pentecost is for rejected ones. Pentecost are for the broken hearts. Pentecost is for those who have done injustice, who have received injustice in their lives. Hallelujah. I told you I'm teaching you something today. Jesus reconciled us to God. Holy Spirit reconciled us together. We become one nation under Christ. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Pentecost means unity, what? Between the races and nations. Pentecost means hope. Pentecost means hope. Hope for those who have been rejected. Hope for those who have been casted out. Hope. Pentecost means hope. Pentecost means visions. And Pentecost means dreams, my brothers and sisters. If you are the people of Pentecost, means you have vision. You have dream. You have hope in your life. Hallelujah. That is Pentecost, my friend. Pentecost is a power. Pentecost is the power of hope, power of vision, power of dream, that we are no more left as orphans, but we have a Father in heaven. We have the Holy Spirit, and we have a Jesus Christ who is in us, the hope of glory. He gives us hope when we need hope. He gives us vision when we need vision. Vision for a better life. Vision for a better future. Pentecost is about hope. Look at your neighbor and say, hope. Pentecost is about hope. Pentecost is about vision. Pentecost is about dreams. How much we need those dreams. How much we need those visions in our life. And those visions and dreams and those hope, my brother, it cannot come through a television. It cannot come through something that you hear on TV. It comes through the Holy Ghost, the power of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Woo! Pentecost means hope. Hope for your nation. Hope for your family. Vision for your business. Vision for your future. Dreams, my friend. Are you listening to me? Pentecost means hope. Hope. And we need hope. Religious system cannot give us hope. Only Holy Spirit can give us hope. Holy Spirit can give us vision. So Pentecost is the day of Father. Pentecost is the day of what? The Holy Ghost. Pentecost is the day of all races. Pentecost is the day of hope. Hope. You who are listening to me today, hope. Even some of you, you have a business in your mind right now. Hope. Hope. I said hope. You have a business in your mind. Hope. You have a plan for your future. Vision. You have a plan for your future. Dream. Oh, hallelujah. Pentecost means hope. Listen to me. Pentecost means prophesy. Pentecost means prophesy. We are the prophetic generation of God. And when I'm talking about prophecy, I don't mean that to tell you whether you eat this morning fufu or not. I'm not talking about that. We are the prophetic people of God. Prophecy is not about what kind of color socks you have. Without preacher can see it. That is not prophecy, my friend. You are the prophetic people of God, because when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you are a prophetic person. In your working place, in the street, outside, you don't look with a blind man's eyes, but you look with the eyes of the prophetic power that God has given to you. That is prophecy, my friend. Prophecy is not about, what did you eat this morning? Egg. Of course, everybody eat egg. So if I shoot among 1,000 birds, one bird will fall. You catch my point? Hello. It is the power of Pentecost that gives you to become a prophetic person. And when I'm talking about prophetic person, I don't mean that your language change, your head change, your neck change because you are prophetic. No, prophetic people are normal people. They talk normal, they walk normal, they eat normal, they act normal, they drive car normal, they pray normal. Are you listening to me? They are normal. They don't need to do strange things to look prophetic. There was one guy, I don't mention his name, even he's becoming very well known here and there. He's saying that, yeah, he went to the third heaven. Third floor. And there he met Apostle Paul and they greet each other. And Paul said to him, I am the one I wrote the book of Hebrew. So, what are we talking about? There are so many prophets. Africa is still suffering. Hey. When you are the man and woman of Pentecost, that means you are the man and woman of prophecy. Prophecy that the will of God will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hey. Don't let people fool you. You understand? Can I tell you something? Don't let people fool you. You know why? Do you know how they fool you? Either they talk about past or they talk about future. They never talk about now. You understand? In the past, we had these people, when they pray, my friend, if you don't have hand, the hand grow. No problem. No problem. We believe that. In the past, we had this. In the past, we had that. And in the future, mama, you are going to become the woman of God. In the future, you are going to become the generation of Christ. My friend, I don't need the future. I don't need the past. I need it now. Pentecost is about now. It's like a carrot holding in the front of the mouth of a donkey. Take the carrot, and the donkey goes behind, but he never gets the carrot. And the donkey shouts and says, I want the carrot now. It's about now. Prophetic people are about now, today.
Hallelujah. Woo!
Pentecost is the day of the Father. Pentecost is the day of all races and nationalities. Are you listening to me? It is the Pentecost that makes me dress Africa dress. And it is the Pentecost that makes me. I'm telling you. It's the Pentecost. It's the Pentecost that make me to be a preacher from Middle East preaching to Africans, Filipinos, Surinamians, Dutch, married to Asian and half mixed children. It's the Pentecost, my friend. Pentecost. Yes. Hallelujah. Pentecost is the day that all races become one. Pentecost is the day of hope. Pentecost is the day that we become people of prophecy. Pentecost is the day of wonders and miracles and signs. My friend, miracles and signs are for today. Are you listening to me? But the question is, how do you receive the miracle? That's the question. I am tired and sick of fake miracles. I want to see real ones. Why are you quiet now? Hello. I am tired and sick of performing miracles. Miracle does not come by shouting. Miracle does not come by screaming. Are you listening to me? Miracle is not coming by shouting, screaming, jumping, beating. No, my friend. We are the people of miracles daily, every day. And we should manifest the power of God. Power of God is love. Miracle is love. If you have no love, miracle is useless. Throw it in the garbage. We all talk about miracle, but we don't know how to love. And throw that miracle in garbage and close it, let it be recycled. Hey, I am wholly angry now. We are the people of miracle. When we pray for people, without any exaggeration, without any show, just pray.